You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line for the third time from Austria is Mark Anderson, covering Bilderberg. Mark, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks. Great to be here for podcast number three. And it's fast moving, a lot of breaking news, interesting stuff going on.
Great. So the last time we spoke, actually did a podcast, did an interview, was yesterday morning at about 8:30 Central Time here in the U.S. Right now, it's about 10 after 6 Central Time in the morning on June 11th, the day that Bilderberg is starting. What happened in the almost 24 hours that we spoke last?
Well, the big problem, Dave, is with such a super isolated hotel and such extra tight security set up a day earlier than normal for Bilderberg standards, me and a Swiss team from We Are Change got together yesterday and we had to figure out, okay, how do we deal with this? So we brainstormed and we went over to Innsbruck Airport. It was kind of eerie in a way. We walked in there and you've never seen an airport so devoid of activity on a typical afternoon. Even a modest-sized American airport would be far more busy. We felt like almost the last people on Earth in the movie The Omega Man starring Charlton Heston.
Right.
It's like, does the rest of humanity exist? I guess it's typical of Europe in some ways that it's just very laid back here. There's a more casual atmosphere. We went to eyeball the airport at Innsbruck here, about a half hour away from Telfs, where Bilderberg is meeting. And there wasn't many on duty, only this coffee shop lady who gave me and my photographer guys and gals a little bit of info. But we managed to get kind of a handle on the layout. And we talked more after we left the airport. And then the Swiss team went there today. And the early reports by phone are that they indeed got some Bilderberg members arriving, which was our only photo ops, because the hotel itself and the whole setup is very, very difficult. It's a very big obstacle. So we feel that we've gotten around that obstacle.
Okay.
That's a big achievement given the circumstances we were confronted with, and we had to think fast. I'm told that there was a police list of at least 20 attendees arriving at Innsbruck Airport today, possibly as many as 30 or 40. That's very significant. If it's 40 Bilderberg attendees arriving at Innsbruck today, you're talking about almost one-third of the entire attendance list. So we'll see later on today what the photographers from We Are Change Switzerland were able to gather photographically, as well as direct observation with binoculars and whatnot. I'm very happy about it, and hopefully that'll result in photos. As the second dispatch written today for AFP's website shows, the exact opposite was true last year, where my assistant Angie Anderson was easily able to photograph Richard Pearl, Christine Lagarde of the International Monetary Fund, and others as they departed the Copenhagen Hotel, which was a crapshoot compared to this. The relative media decline here in Europe of covering Bilderberg took an uptick, as my last couple dispatches reveal. And the latest is The Courier, another newspaper, the second major regional newspaper here in Western Austria, that in fact did report with sufficient depth on Bilderberg. So even though the European coverage isn't what it once was, it has taken an uptick, I'm glad to report. Now that's two papers so far that have done the job reasonably well to cover Bilderberg. It's still more than you can say about the U.S. media, but that's not saying much when you consider that the U.S. media has all but totally blacked out Bilderberg, with only minor exceptions over 5 or 6 decades. I put in a lot of effort before I even left for Austria to get the U.S. media on board. I even contacted the U.K. correspondent for USA Today. I Twittered that person who covered the G7. I said, hey, there's something better than the G7. I didn't get any response back that I saw. And so the U.S. media, there must be some sort of written or unwritten code that thou shalt not say the word Bilderberg.
As we've mentioned in previous interviews, the last couple of years were kind of like circus-like. We are changes out there. But what about Alex Jones? Is he out there?
You know, I have not seen or heard a thing about him. Usually you can hear his megaphone from a nautical mile away.
What a clown.
Yeah, a lot of people characterize him as that. There's mixed opinions across the spectrum. Some give him credit for the agitation that draws the attention Bilderberg needs. Others are much more critical. Whatever the case, I have not seen him. In past years, he was very, very hard to miss, let's just put it mildly. And in England especially, he was going up and down a river barge with a megaphone. And I think the central attraction in his mind was himself more than Bilderberg. I think that'll probably change this coming Sunday when up to 1,000 protesters are reportedly going to be here in Telfs to call attention to Bilderberg. I'll be a little surprised if the number is that high, pleasantly surprised, but at least a few hundred I would think will show, and then we'll see if Mr. Jones shows up for that.
Yeah, the reason I asked, and by the way, they'll be showing up when Bilderberg is breaking up, right?
Yes, it'll be on the last day, Sunday the 14th.
Yeah, too bad they're not there while they're there. The reason I asked about Jones is because he sent out an email yesterday. Uh-huh. Basically, it's a flashback to his quote-unquote powerful Bilderberg 2013 speech. Was that the UK?
It was the UK. He spoke, as did David Icke. They were the main two speakers, among others.
Right. He's kind of regurgitating something that happened 2 years ago, and I guess because he's not there. It seems like only American Free Press is there of national significance. Why do you think so few people and organizations showed up to this one? Because of its remoteness?
Possibly so. It's a tough nut to crack. But the thing about AFP, Jim Tucker before me and now myself, I was here 3 years with Tucker. This is my third year without him. He trained me well, let me tell you. One of the things he told me was the main thing is don't stop. That really sunk in, and it pays off. Even when things look like they're closing, if you don't stop, all of a sudden the doors reopen again. Things fell into place. This helpful cab driver that took me around yesterday, these wonderful, tenacious young guys and gals from Switzerland that will not give up no matter what. And pretty soon we turn things around and we keep the U.S. media in the form of AFP out there. Some others make some contributions here and there. There's the UK column in Britain that does a nice job. The European media looks like they're going to kind of fade away and they kind of come back around. And if you hang in there and you don't give up, eventually the table turns the right way.
Okay, so they are arriving today, I guess, yes. Throughout mm-hmm. the entire day, or is there right. like one block of time that they'll all be showing up or checking in?
Throughout the day, but the Swiss team told me by phone this morning that the police had a list of 20 attendees arriving 2-3 hours, maybe even 4 hours ago. So at least 20 have already arrived through the Innsbruck Airport on the private airplane part of the field.
What's on the agenda for today, Mark?
See how the photos turned out, see who we photographed, compare notes, file more dispatches, really just keep the nose to the grindstone and keep fleshing this thing out. Deal with the unique circumstances that are always present each year, depending on the local town and the layout and the way the culture and the media is and whatnot, how aware the people are. The people here in Telfs seem pretty aware of what's going on. Some seem very puzzled as to what it is, but at least they know about it in some varying degrees. It's just great to carry on Jim Tucker's tradition, and I want to take a moment to recognize the passing of Michael Collins Piper. Mike did contribute to our knowledge about Bilderberg to some extent and was a great writer in his own right, and you know, we'll miss him. Hats off to him as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Great loss for those of us who are interested in bringing out the truth. You know, I was thinking about you being out there and hunting these, as Jim would call them, criminals down. It's almost like you're part of the paparazzi. Did you ever think about that?
A little bit. The only difference being the paparazzi being just kind of shameless flash photography in your face, worry about the consequences later type kind of reporters. You know, if that were possible, I might do a little bit of that. It's just that it can have drawbacks such as getting arrested, having your camera broken, getting beat up. I don't have time for that. I don't want to be inside a temporary jail cell. I'd rather be writing in my makeshift office. I sort of humorously entertain that sometimes.
Well, you know, you would think that the paparazzi, whoever they are, I mean, it's not one entity, it's just a bunch of different photographers, of course, but you would right. think that there would be some paparazzi there. I mean, like Jim said, if 150 of the world's top athletes or celebrities were gathered in one place, everyone would go nuts here. Have you seen any paparazzi there?
No, this would be the hardest place to see them if they were there. They wouldn't be able to get any closer than we would. These security people are very serious. I think it's partially dependent on who's here. You have the head of NATO here, the new General Secretary of NATO here. You get people like that here, the kind of people that can make one phone call and move infantry and warships and put F-14s in the air. You get that kind of people here, and they don't screw around with security. You get too close, you're going to get a bullet.
How close can you actually get to the hotel?
One entrance, 2 to 3 kilometers. The other one, like 5 kilometers.
2 kilometers is 2,000 meters. It's about a mile, right?
Yeah, mile and a half, whatever it is.
Are there any woods that you could go through? Or?
Oh my gosh, the woods are so thick. It's kind of like the Black Forest in Germany. This is very, very dense, both deciduous trees and coniferous, you know, pine. Very, very dense. You'd make a lot of noise and get an awful lot of scratches.
Yeah, but it's worth it.
I don't think it'd be a real good use of my limited time and resources. Believe me, I fantasize about these things, but I think for what we're dealing with and what we have at our disposal, we're doing pretty well. At least we're here, as you and I are both acknowledging, as opposed to the New York Times sipping their lattes in their cubicles. Same with the Washington Compost. I usually call it the New Pork Times. Excuse me.
I got another name for it. I won't say it, though.
Right. Yeah, I think I know where you're going, but we have to take the lead because they won't do anything. And the European media at least is somewhat vigilant, absent or at least minimizing any paparazzi that may be around. You know, you would think that even the store tabloids would take a little more interest.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's pretty amazing. Unless interest in Bilderberg has dwindled.
It is something of a tiresome topic in a way. But that's why I think that AFP is unique in drawing attention to the Bilderberg Network. As I've said, you know, it's not just the Bilderberg Group. They're kind of the hub in this coordination and planning process. But you have the CFR and Brookings and the Carnegie Endowment that are spokes or conduits plugging into that central hub. It's a network where you connect a lot of dots and you see a lot of surreptitious things that influence policy and elections and legislation like free trade and fast track. It goes out all over like water flowing out through, you know, all sorts of tributaries. It's not dull, but if you just look at the specter of Bilderberg meeting year after year, it does have a certain kind of mundaneness about it. And those that are not informed or not interested, I think they feel that it's just mundane. But they're wrong. They just have that impression.
Lucky for Bilderberg. When are we going to talk to you next?
Later today, if that's possible for you. I really need to see what we got photographically to see if there's anyone photographed who's not on the list. I would really, really love proof that some of the 2016 U.S. presidential candidates might be skulking over here, since three of them have already been vetted by the CFR. Marco Rubio, the senator, Senator Lindsey Graham, the warmonger, and then, of course, Hillary Clinton, that principled member of the Democratic Party and model stateswoman, of course.
All right, Mark, have fun there. Good luck, happy digging, and stay away from the woods. And we'll talk to you hopefully later today, if not later today, tomorrow morning.
Sounds good, Dave. Thanks.